Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you. Good morning to our online community who are watching us. And it's great to be here. And I'm going to continue in the series that Mark started last week, which is Skewed Views. And just in case you're not quite sure what skewed means, the dictionary puts it pretty clear. It's something that is not true or accurate. So when we have a skewed view, basically it's we believe something that's not true and not accurate. So the title of this morning's word is, Why Are We Here? Great question to ask. What is our purpose for living here? Well, I can tell you that our purpose here is to be like Jesus and to serve Jesus. And who exactly determines what my purpose is? God does. We don't determine that, and other people don't determine that. But we're going to drill down a little bit and look at what the scripture says about why we are here. So Luke 9:23, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and you know what? We're his disciples today.
Yeah.
So he's saying this to us. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And to deny yourself simply means to say no to yourself and to say yes to Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we no longer live, it says here in the Word, but Christ actually lives in you and in me. And the life that I now live here on earth, I live it by faith in him, in the Son of God. Not in me, not in my plans, not in my purposes. Isaiah 43:6-7 says, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. We've been made for the glory of God. We haven't been made for ourselves and for what we want to do, but it's to glorify him. Point number two, I'm just going to tell, I felt the Holy Spirit say, just tell some of your story. And I'm going to do that right now. When I was 25, I graduated from university in Ottawa. I believed that there was a God, but I had no relationship or idea of who he was. It was a time for me to find a job in my area of study, because that's all I knew to do, right? You go to school, you try to get the best marks you can, you go to university or college, and then you go looking for a job. That's all I knew. And then once you find a job, you look for that ladder that you're supposed to climb, that success ladder, and you start climbing that. And that's what I did. 8 years later, I had left my profession, which was in architecture earlier, to work for my father, and I enjoyed it very much. And the new ladder that I found helped me to reach the goals that I had set more quickly and successfully. I had learned to measure my success in life by what I did and how much money I was making. After all, that's what the world does, as far as I knew at that time. I believed that I was here for me, and if I don't look after me, no one else will. Then I met a young woman on a blind date arranged by mutual friends. Some of you know this story already. And I was smitten when I first saw her. And on our third date, she told me about Jesus. And from that moment on, my life was changed forever. This wasn't anything that I had been planned or that I was even looking for God. But God was looking for me. And it opened my eyes to recognize that I was missing something in my life that I had no idea what it was. I thought I had everything at that time. but I realized I was missing Jesus. So then I married that beautiful young girl, and we found a church to go to. But I didn't have a foggy clue as to how to live out this new Christian life. So in my own ignorance, I thought that I would just take Jesus and just add him to what I was currently doing. And that's what I did, because that's what I saw other Christians doing as well. So fast forward 30 years. In all those years I served in the church, I had a skewed view of why I was here. I thought having Jesus in my life was great, and that I could still enjoy the comforts of the lifestyle that we enjoy here. And I thought I could both serve in my church and still do what I wanted to do. But I was still mostly living for me, while God only had a part of me. And Jesus doesn't want just a part of us. He wants all of us. He's a jealous God, but he's not in a way that we think jealous means. Yeah. Because he knows us so intimately. He knows us better than anyone else because he formed us and he made us. And he also made the most amazing and wonderful plans for our lives. And because of his great and amazing love, he wants to protect us from all the things from this world that would distract us from our destiny in Christ. So what are the lies? Point three, what are the lies that the world has told us about why we're here? Well, all you have to do is turn on your device, turn on the TV, listen to the radio, or browse through magazines, and you'll quickly find out the world is trying to tell us that it's all about me. And not only is it about me, but it entices us with all sorts of things and convinces us that, you know what, I deserve that. I'm worth that.
Very good.
And some of you, like I did, thought, if I don't look after me, who is going to look after me? And some people think that others are there to serve me as well and to make my life happy. And some of us who have even accepted Jesus think that he's there to make my life better. And he does make our life better, but not in the way that we think better is. Or you believed a lie that says, I can be anything that I want to be. You hear that a lot. But that's all about you. What is God saying? And you can probably add all sorts of other things on that list, that things that you've believed that are lies about why we are here. So point four, we're going to look at, well, what is the truth that the Bible teaches us? Because that's really what we want to do. In order to dispel any lie that we've believed, we need to go to where the truth is. And the truth, as Janine pointed out, is in here, in the Word of God. And that's why we need to know what that Word says. Because otherwise, we're going to have all sorts of skewed views in our lives. So why are we here? According to the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are new creations in Christ. The old me has passed away, the new me has come. And so our old nature, our old sin nature is gone. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are now new creations. The new we represents our new identity, which Christ has restored. We are here to continue the works that Jesus did. John 14:12. We are here to be ambassadors for Christ, pointing people back to God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Our lives are to guide people to Jesus and Jesus to the Father, Matthew 16:15. We are to be the aroma of Christ wherever we are, 2 Corinthians 15:16. We're to be the light of the world, and not only the light of the world, but to let our light shine. That's Matthew 5:14-16. In Matthew 28, we know it well, the Great Commission, and this isn't a commission just for pastors. or missionaries, but it's for all of us because we're all disciples. It's to make disciples and then to see them baptized. And it's to teach all believers to follow His commandments, God's commandments. We're here to live for Christ. That's why we're here, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Paul says in Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." Now, he doesn't mean physical dying, but he means dying to self is better. Why? Because it means I can live more for Christ. That's why it's better. We're here to do everything with excellence, as if we were doing it for the Lord. Colossians 3:17. So even if you're working for a boss who's difficult to work for, instead of thinking maybe you should be looking for work somewhere else, maybe you need to go to God and ask Him what you need to do in that situation. Because maybe He wants you to be there and to be Christ in that place, in that office, in that environment. Maybe you're the person that's going to be able to touch this person's life, this man or woman, and make a difference. That's in Colossians 3:23. We're here to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. 2 Corinthians 2:15. We are here because we've been made more and more like Him, so people can see Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are servants for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:15. I'm giving lots of scripture because I want you to know that I'm not the one that's saying this. This is what the Word of God says. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verses 6, 7, and 8, this is what it says, to prove yourself by how we live for Christ. That's in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 7, it says, we're here to faithfully preach the truth. Again, what does preaching mean? It means to reveal Christ in whatever way. And if you have to, you use words, but it's not something solely for people in ministry or people that are missionaries. It's for all believers. We're here to serve people, whether people honor us or despise us. And we love it when they honor us. But even when they despise us, we're still to serve God. 2 Corinthians 6:8. And we're here to reflect and display God's love and His character to the unsaved world. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And how do we display that character? Well, if you look up that scripture, it'll often say it's demonstrating the glory of the Lord. And how do you do that? You demonstrate the glory of the Lord by being who God made you to be. That's how you glorify Him. So just think, when we choose to live for Christ, we are becoming the exact person that God, our Creator, made us to be. This way of living for Him is the most powerful and loving way that we can glorify God. And it is the most satisfying, fulfilling, exciting life that we could ever live. You know, I believed a lie that somehow if I denied myself, I would be giving something up and that I wasn't willing to give up. But it's actually the opposite of that. Because if we simply be who God has called us to be, we will experience all of God, the fullness of what God is. It'll be a little bit about, I'm sorry, ladies, but I couldn't come up with an example that maybe you could really relate to, but I think you can. Because I want to paint a picture a little bit of what I'm talking about. And if you can just imagine, use your imagination, and you're a racing car. F1. I love F1. And a Ferrari. And you have to remember that this car has been built specifically specifically to drive fast. And it has incredible handling and speed. And it's to do this on a racing track. It doesn't do anything else, but that's what it was made to do. To drive that car, to pick up groceries, or to pick up a few bags of mulch at the garden center is not what it was made to do. Yeah. And if we do that, that's not what it's made to do. It's made to do what the designer created it to do. And it's exactly the same as with us. God is our designer, and he's designed specific things for us, but the common thing about it is that we are representing him, that we're doing the work that he did here on earth. That's what we were made for. That's the primary goal. God is not a secondary thing that, as I thought before, I could just add him to my primary goal. Was still looking at my life in the world view of way of looking at things, looking at running my business, looking at doing in the ways that I thought I should do them, making decisions that I thought I was not only more competent, but that I wanted to make on my own. But that's a skewed view, because that's not what you and I are here for. You and I are here with all those things, if you can remember them, is really to represent Christ, to do the work that he did. He exampled what we are to do. We should be doing that. It's a skewed view if we think it's only for certain people, like pastors and other leaders in the church and people that have ministries and missionaries. No, it's for all of us. Because they're never going to reach everyone. They're not going to reach the people in our sphere that God has placed us in. We need to understand we are here not for ourselves, but we are here for him and to do what he's called us to live. And I hope today, I know this is a short message, but I hope it's a powerful message. It's a message that I need to hear, because I need to make changes and adjustments in my skewed view of why I'm here. And I hope that today, when you go home, you can take some time, find a quiet place, and just ask the Lord and ask yourself, be honest, am I living for the Lord or am I living for me? Because according to what God says and what his word says, we were made to live for him. And by his Spirit to reveal himself in us and through us to those who are lost. You know, it occurred to me as I was preparing this that our enemy, the devil, doesn't mind if we're just good Christians. If we come to church and we live good lives, you know, we're honest. But if we're just good, nice Christians, but not doing much more than that, he's okay with that. Yeah. Because we're not making any change in the world. We're not revealing Christ. The last thing that our enemy wants us to do is to become that creation, that new creation that Christ made us. Because when we start realizing, oh, I'm not here for me, I'm here for Jesus, then it changes everything. Because everywhere I go is an opportunity for me to show something about Jesus. In my work, I have the unique opportunity to be talking to people that no one else can talk to. And I can example that in the way that I live. And you know what? In the way that we live speaks volumes to people. They do actually notice things that especially when we're not responding the way everyone else does. When we're not responding to COVID, the situation are in the way that we're panicky and we're anxious about it. Why? Because we trust in God. God knows what's going on. He's not anxious. He's not worryful. And we need to be that, not just for ourselves, but to help people as well. Because if we begin to do that, can you imagine the change that it will have in the world? That's why the enemy is fine if we're just nice, good Christians and we come to church and we do our churchly thing and that's all we do. But we have so much more. And not only so much more, we don't need to be afraid of that. Again, when Jesus said he's come to give us abundant life, do you think that that abundant life is less than anything the world has to offer? Think about that. That's insanity. His abundant life, the God who created everything in existence, do you think it's going to deprive me of something or you of something that I'm afraid to let it go so that I can be and experience the fullness of everything that is in Christ Jesus? We're not missing out on anything. We're simply becoming the men and women that God created us to be. And there's no better place to be than that in that place. So, Lord, I thank you for your word, what is so clear that it answers the question, why are we here? We're here for you. We're here to represent you. We're here to be, to demonstrate your love, to be demonstrate all of your character and all of your quality to all, everyone that's in our sphere of influence. Holy Spirit, and you are living in us, and with you in us, there's nothing that can't be done in and through us. Nothing truly is impossible for us, yes, but not for the Spirit of God that is dwelling in us, enabling us to become the men and women that you created us to be. And so, Lord, I pray that we would begin walking out this reality of who we are, that we will put aside whatever skewed views that we may have thought in the past. We can't change the past, but we can change the future. And so we choose, Lord, let us choose today to say, okay, I realize now I'm here for you, Lord, and I'm going to do that to the best of my ability. In Jesus' name, amen.